We're continuing a collection of sermons called You Are Stronger Than You Think. How many know that? How many believe that? No? Well, good thing we're doing this series because you are stronger than you think. There is power that lives inside of you. There is a strength that you have yet to tap into. There is a spirit that God has placed in you that is greater than whatever you're facing in this world. Do you believe that? Let me say that again. Let's just start over. Good morning, everybody. Do you know that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, lives in you? Yeah. Much better. Oh, I preach so much better when you make a little noise, but that's okay. Isn't it true? And I know sometimes we're facing challenges and mountains that we feel tempted to want to give up. You ever been there? Like, I want to quit. I want to give up. Or how many have said this before? I can't do this anymore. How many have said that? Or how many have said this? I can't take this anymore. And I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you have can-do power living inside of you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Come on, church, right? Gives me strength. In other words, God has given us strength to endure whatever we're going through. These past 2 years might have been a surprise to us, but they have not been a surprise to God. When God wired us, He wired us with pandemic power. Come on, church. There is pandemic power within you. Let's brand that. I just came up with it. It's got to be Holy Spirit empowered because we're the last generation that went through a pandemic was 100 years ago in 1918. But guess what? When we were born in this world, He put pandemic power in us so that we can walk through the struggles and the trials and the difficulty and still stand and still praise and still worship and still come to church and still give God all the praise and say, God, you are good, not just in the good, you're good in the bad. So what did we learn last week? That whatever God has allowed us to come to, He will bring us through. We're going to get through what we're going through. That's what we learned last week. This week, I want to talk to you about victory. Victory begins in the dark. Victory begins in the dark. I love fall. Do you love fall? I love the season of fall. And fall is great because the leaves are falling and the weather's beautiful. And everything's awesome. But one thing I don't like about fall is, first of all, the time change. No, I like the extra hour sleep. How about y'all? Like if we had, like last week, attendance was amazing in church. I think it was the biggest attendance since the pandemic was last week. That's because we all got an extra hour sleep. So what if we did that every week? Just like put your clocks back every Sunday. We would be amazing, but it doesn't work that way. But what I dislike about it is that at 4:30, it's already dark. I can't stand that. And then it's darkness and darkness. It gets darker and darker and darker all the way to December 21st, which is the darkest day of the year. First of all, pause. Isn't it amazing that we celebrate Christmas during the darkest week of the year? Come on, somebody, right? There's significance to that. Because how many know that light shines brighter in the darkness? Woo! Isn't that awesome? I feel excited today. They gave me a coffee on the way in. I'm energized. I'm like, thank you. But isn't that awesome that the light shines darkest? The light shines brightest in the darkness. Isn't that awesome? But if you know anything, that the darkness, it's just a season. It's a season of darkness that we're entering into. And darkness is a season. And all of us will go through seasons of darkness. We'll go through seasons of darkness. I'm not necessarily talking to you about like evil darkness, which that could be part of it. I'm talking about like a spiritual darkness or a heaviness that comes upon us because of a trial that we're facing or a setback that we've experienced or a difficulty or a crisis or a trauma. Something that comes up in our lives that brings us into a season of darkness. Have you ever been there? Well, if not, just look back at these past 20 months. I really believe we are in a season of darkness, of uncertainty, of heaviness, of fear, anxiety, worry, and doubt. We all go through seasons of darkness. I know in my life, a few years ago, man, it was one of the darkest times of my life. 2015, or really 2016. It was towards the end of 2016, where I hit a wall. I got burnt out. Man, I had been running so hard and pushing so hard for 20 years of ministry that eventually caught up to me. And I hit a wall and my emotions shut down, and it was like a dark period of my life. Y'all ever been there? Which is like heavy and dark, and you're exhausted and you're depleted. And it's not necessarily the evil darkness, it's a spiritual darkness. It could also be an emotional darkness. Struggle with depression and discouragement and despair. They're saying that during the pandemic, suicides and depression, that they couldn't even provide antidepressants quick enough because so many people were just dealing with the weight of darkness. But I just want to tell you today, scriptures tell us that for everything...
God bless you. It's great to be with you.
Say it again. It just zoned out. Guys, convict that. For everything, there is a season. There's a season for everything. Thank you. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And if you find yourself with this overwhelming sense of weight and darkness, I just want to tell you today that it's a season and it won't last forever. How many know that's good news for some of y'all today, right? Just saying that is true, because the darkness that I went through was just a season. It was temporary. And the reason why I went through it is so that God could do a work in me in the darkness. And you know what I'm learning? I'm learning that God does his deepest work in us in the dark. And if we're walking in darkness and we're feeling darkness and we're feeling the weight and this year's been dark and we look at the world, everything's dark, 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 dark. I just want to tell you that God is doing his deepest work in us in the dark. God uses the dark to refine us. God uses the dark to make us. The darkness is not going to break you. The darkness is going to make you. How many know that, right? The season of darkness won't last forever. That's what the scriptures say. The season of darkness won't last forever. I just want to tell you today, whatever you're going through is temporary. It won't last forever. God is going to take us through the darkness. He's going to propel us forward and do something great in us and through us. Notice what the scripture says in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Weeping might be around for a night. There might be seasons of weeping. There might be seasons in which you are overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. But I'm just going to tell you today that that's temporary. It won't last forever. Why? Because scriptures tell us joy is coming in the morning, church. Rejoicing's coming in the morning. How many believe that? How many know that? That what I'm going through is temporary, that what I'm feeling is temporary, that what I'm going through won't last forever. That's why you cannot make a permanent decision based on a temporary moment. Woo! And so many people, when they're overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and despair, they're thinking, why not just end my life? Or can I talk about that in church this morning? Is that okay? Why not just end my life? Why not just escape? Why not just leave? You cannot make a permanent decision based on temporary feelings. And what we're going through, church, is temporary. The pandemic is temporary. The uncertainties of the future are temporary. Why? Because the word says it may be here for the night, but my word says that rejoicing's coming in the morning. I can't wait for the morning. I can't wait for the sun to rise. I can't wait to see God do something new. I can't wait to see God lift the darkness. But what if I were to tell you, church, what if I were to tell you that it's already morning? What if I were to tell you that it's already a new day in your life? What if I were to tell you that the day has changed and it's a new day? The new day has already started. What if I were to tell you today that God has already brought you from a place of darkness to a place of light? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It's a new day. All I see is darkness. What do you mean it's a new day? I don't see the sun. I don't see new things happening. I don't see the changes. Let's look at scripture in Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's your answer for evolution. Who created the heavens and the earth? Thank you. Now the earth was formless and empty. And what happened? Darkness was over the surface of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Darkness over the earth. But God said, let there be light. And as he spoke this phrase, this statement, light came into being. Isn't that amazing? First of all, I just want to tell you today that God is about to speak light into your darkness. God is already speaking light into your darkness. God is speaking to your situation, said, let there be light. God is speaking to our nation, let there be light. God is speaking to your financial difficulty, let there be light. God is speaking to your health situation, let there be light. God is speaking light in your dark circumstances. But track this with me. So he said, let there be light, and there was light. I don't know if that's how it sounded, but it just or just went on. Check this out. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Check this out here. But God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Did you pick up on that? He didn't say first there was morning and then evening, because that would make sense, wouldn't it? Like when the sun rises, a new day begins. But that's not how God created it. He first created the evening, then the morning. In other words, a new day begins in the dark. When the clock strikes midnight, it's a new day. It may not look like a new day. It may not feel like a new day. You may look outside and it's still dark. You may look at your circumstances and they're still dark. But I'm here to tell you today that the clock has hit midnight. And that God has begun a new day in your life. A new day has begun. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but the day doesn't start in the morning. A new day starts at night. And I truly believe that as we look around at the darkness that's all around us, or maybe the darkness that we're carrying, I really believe that regardless of what we see or feel, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. God is about to birth something new in us and through us. We may not feel it, we may not see it, but I'm here to declare and decree to you today that the sun is about to rise, that a new day is about to begin, that new things are about to happen. I truly believe that, regardless of how you feel. We read the scriptures in Acts 16, verse 22. I love this story. Paul and Silas, two beasts of faith. Paul was preaching, I think this is in Philippi, and he was performing miracles. He was sharing the gospel, and the Romans were upset because he cast out a spirit. I love this story. If you read back later in Acts 16, he was walking, and there was this woman who was demon-possessed who kept bothering him, and the Bible says that Paul was just annoyed. He turned around and looked at her. In the name of Jesus, I cast you out, and that demon left that woman. But the Romans, they were upset because there was this guy who would make money off of her. And once the demon left her, the woman could not tell the future. She was like a fortune teller. So they made a complaint, and they brought Paul and Silas to the Romans. And it says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas and magistrates and ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. For what? For rebuking evil spirits. Y'all think y'all had it rough. There's Paul and Silas. I bind you in Jesus' name. How many know that when you are anointed, when you are appointed, when the Spirit of God lives in you, you're going to attract haters? How many know that? Like you're going to attract haters. People are not going to hate you. They're going to hate the Spirit that lives in you. And that's what happened here. They hated what Paul stood for. They hated for what Paul. That's why when you make that decision to follow Jesus, if you're new to your faith and you start following Jesus, you're going to have your friends who are not going to like that. They're going to want the old you, but that's not what God has called you to be. He's called you to be the new you, walking in power and strength. So here, they crowd joined, they attacked, the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Like that wasn't enough. And they've been severely flogged. Flogged is like whipped with the bones at the end of the whips. Severely thrown into prison. The prison was an underground prison. It was dark. It was dirty. It was dingy. And the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received this order, when he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So there they are. Imagine Paul and Silas, shackled, bound in darkness. There's no electricity. They didn't have like lanterns. They didn't have anything. They're sitting in this cell, dark, bound, chained, asking God, why? Let me ask you this question. If you found yourself in Paul's situation, what would you be asking God? God, where are you? Why did this happen to me? Am I going to die? Is this my end? Am I going to spend the rest of my life in prison? I didn't do anything wrong. God, where are you? So there's Paul and Silas in the darkness of their cell. But yet we're going to learn something that happened at Paul and Silas. That while they were in their cell, they chose to stay in faith instead of doubt. They chose to believe that God was with them and that God was for them. And they had a strength within them that they can handle whatever they were going through. So here we read that as they were chained in the inner cell, fastened their feet in stocks. Look what it says. At what church? Midnight. At midnight. It was a new day. At midnight, a new day began. And what did Paul and Silas do? They were praying and singing hymns to God. I wonder how that would have changed our year. Instead of being worried, instead of being frightful, instead of being upset, instead of being concerned, instead of going freaking out, I wonder how our year would be if we learned to praise God in the darkness. I wonder how that would have changed our year. I wonder how that would have changed our circumstances. I wonder how that would change our perspective if we simply learn to praise God in the darkness. And that's what Paul and Silas did. They decided to praise God in the darkness. And as they praised God, a new day began. And the other prisoners were listening to them. They were praising loud. They were shouting, "Lord, you are good. Lord, we love you. Lord, I praise you. I thank you because you're good in the good, and you're also good in the bad, and you're also good in the ugly. And yes, I'm sitting in the darkness of my cell. And yes, it stinks. And yes, I don't understand. But God, I do understand of your faithful love, your care for me. I know you're going to get me through this. I know you're going to help me through this. I know you have given me the strength to walk through whatever valley, whatever challenge, whatever difficulty I'm walking through. God, you are with me. God, you are for me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. God, I believe that by faith." And that's what they're praising. They're giving God praise. And what happens? The prisoners were listening. And they were overhearing this worship. And I just want to encourage you to believe that in the darkest moments of your lives, give God your loudest worship. In the darkest moments of your lives, in the darkest moments of your difficulty, in the darkest moments of your pain, that's a moment to praise God and worship God and give Him thanks for His love and for His mercy and for His grace. Sorry, am I yelling too loud for you first service, early church service people? Right? Isn't that good? I don't want to get excited. I might pull back. I'm getting worn out. I won't get too worn out for the second service. Then what happened? Check out what happened. Here it is. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Why? Because it was a new day. It was a new day. At once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Isn't that amazing? At that moment, they learned to praise God. They learned to worship God. At the darkest moments of their life, they gave God their loudest worship. The day had changed. Although they were still bound, it was a new day. At midnight, God turned things around. And I'm here to declare to you today that it's midnight over your life. The clock has struck midnight, and God is about to turn some things around. God's about to turn some things around in your life. It's midnight, church. As a matter of fact, it's 12:01. It's 12:01 for TC. It's 12:01 for America. It's 12:01 for your family. It's 12:01 for your finances. It's 12:01 for your faith. I really believe that. I believe that the darker it gets, the brighter God gets. Come on, church. I believe that darkness needs to happen in order for the light to shine the brightest. I truly believe. You may not think it or feel it, but I'm here to tell you that in a few hours, the sun's about to rise. You'll understand what you're going through. The weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's look to Jesus really quick. I got to go quick. Dear Jesus, we read when Jesus was crucified on the cross, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, what came over the land? Darkness. There it is again. From noon to 3 came over all the land. Let's read what he says. And about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice. Imagine that for a moment. Imagine the darkness. Imagine the pain of Jesus going through what he had to go through. Imagine being flogged and whipped and crucified, nails in the hands, nails in your feet. And as he hung there around 3 in the afternoon, he cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Bible then says he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, there was another earthquake that had happened. People started coming back to life that were dead. People were walking out of graves. Is that incredible? It was the first episode of The Walking Dead. it happened. People are just walking, and they're like, ugh. Where am I? They were dead and now they're alive. And the Bible says that the curtain was torn from top to bottom that was in the Holy of Holies. In other words, now that was torn. The presence of God was no longer limited to a place because Jesus became sin for us and gave us access to the Father. But then they put him in a tomb, the darkness of a tomb. Think about the darkness of the tomb. You ever felt like you're in a tomb? You ever felt like it's been so dark? That God, where are you? I just want to remind you that victory begins in the dark. Because although it was dark, weeping may endure for a night. But what comes in the morning, church? Joy comes in the morning. And I love that the darkness covered the land. And then there's the darkness of the tomb. But on the third day, at what church? Ooh. This is acting up today.
God bless you. It's great.
Okay, here we go. Let's go back. At what church? At dawn, on the first day of the week, as soon as the sun was rising, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Why? Because Jesus had resurrected from the dead. And we read again that there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled back the stone and sat on it. Think about it. The darkness, the heaviness was there, but God turned it around, and at dawn, the sun began to rise, and Jesus came back to life. Let me just remind you that the darker life gets, the brighter God gets. The darker your life gets, you might be sitting in darkness. You might be sitting with loss. You might be sitting in pain. But I'm here to tell you that God is close to the brokenhearted. He's near those who are broken in spirit. He is brighter than ever before. The darker it gets, the brighter it gets. I just want to encourage you today. Regardless of the darkness you're going through, victory begins in the dark. Mother Teresa was a Catholic nun, and she was responsible of starting all these missions around the world for helping the helpless and the homeless and those who were just couldn't destitute. And we find this, she wrote in her journal, no one knew about this until they published her journal. And she said, before I could spend hours before our Lord loving him, talking to him, and now not even meditation goes properly. Yet deep down, somewhere in my heart, that longing for God keeps breaking through the what church? The darkness. She struggled with this darkness, she said, for over 50 years. She struggled with darkness. My soul is just like an ice block. You ever been there? Like, I have nothing to say. I have come to what? Love the darkness. For I believe that it is a part, a very small part of Jesus' darkness and pain on earth. She said, I have come to love the darkness. What I'm telling you is not to necessarily love the darkness, but learn to love what the darkness does in you. Paul said it best. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, but also that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, if you're going to know the resurrection power of Jesus, you also have to know the darkness. And God will take us into seasons of darkness because he's refining us, he's strengthening us, and preparing us. You see, I don't necessarily believe that the darkness is a tomb. I believe the darkness is more like a womb in which God births something new in our lives. Because of my burnout experience, I was able to find healing in my soul. I journeyed within, and I was able to find life and health and strength. And God birthed something in me and through me through the darkness. You see, now I feel a passion and a calling to help pastors get healthy and stay healthy. God has called me to lead cohorts of pastors, leading them to emotional and spiritual health. I've been doing that for the past 2-3 years. I'm also leading a part in a network. I'm leading a network to help pastors get healthy, stay healthy. I'll be leading cohorts next year. I'm writing a blog now. I just started a blog about how to be a healthy leader. I've never felt better because of God's healing work in me. But I had to go through the darkness so that God can birth something in me and through me. And I just want to declare for the very first time that I've started writing a book. And I really believe that God's going to use my dark experiences to help others who are in dark experiences. I truly believe that God uses your darkness to form you and shape you and help you to become who God's called you to be. The darkness that we've been in these past 20 months hasn't been a tomb, it's a womb. Because I truly believe the best days of the church are still ahead. The best days for you are still ahead. God has more in store. You have yet to see what God was going to do. There will be a time and day that the only way you can watch church is through live streaming. Not because the doors aren't open, it's because there won't be a seat. So y'all better get your seat now. You see, the pendulum went to all online, but guess what, church? Whoop, the pendulum's coming back. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. I truly believe things are going to shift. Things have already shifted. The clock is 12:01 a.m. It is a new day. I really believe it. It's a new day for the church. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for me. It's a new day for my family. I really believe it. Now, I know I still see darkness, but I'm choosing faith. I'm choosing to believe. So real quick, what do you do when you're in the dark? Real quick. Four quick things. So what do you do when you're in the dark? I just put it all in one shot here. First of all, dark, so you can remember. Ready? Declare the praises of your God. What do you do? What do you do when you're in the darkness? The first thing you do is, God, I praise you. I love you. What do you do if things go sour in your life? God, I praise you. What do you do if things go sour in your marriage? God, I praise you. What do you do if your son or your daughter goes astray? Lord, I praise you because you are bigger than my problem. You are bigger than my circumstances. You're bigger than what I'm facing. God, you are a big God. You are an awesome God. God, you are amazing. I praise you. I love you. I worship you. And then you say, God, help! Can we all practice that? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Help! Yes! Ask God for what you need. Help me, God. I can't tell you how many tears I've shed. God, help me. Because it's so dark. And he says, I know, my son, I'm right there with you. What do you need? God, I need strength. I've already given it to you. I need wisdom. I've already given it to you. I need guidance. I've given it to you. What do I need, God? Ask God for what you need. Number three, dark or darker, read the Psalms. What do you do when you're facing a dark night? Read the Psalms. Why? Because David lived in a cave. Like, David, who wrote more than half the Psalms, was in a dark night for most of his writing career in the book of Psalms. Read what David wrote. I love Psalm 23, which I read all the time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, even though I'm walking through the darkness, I will fear no evil. Because God, you are with me. God, you are with me. Know that God is with you. Say, your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Then he ends, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's how you handle the darkness. You declare the goodness of God. You ask God for what you need. You get into the scriptures and you know that God is with you. I hope that helped you today. Did that help you today? Know that victory begins in the dark.
You are stronger than you think you are, church. Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Lord, we love you. We praise you. If you need just strength today, just lift your hands right where you're at. If you need strength, say, Lord, I'm discouraged. There's so much weight on me. Can we just, maybe with your palms up, release it? Matter of fact, this is what we're going to do. For those of you that are heavy burdened, Jesus says, I will give you rest. Turn your palms down and release it all to God. Come on, church, release it. Lord, I release everything to you. Come on, release that. Palms down. Lord, I release that situation. I release that challenge. I release the weight. Can we do that just a few more moments? Lord, I release. And now with palms up, Lord, I receive your power, your strength, your love, your presence. Can we do that? Lord, I receive. I receive. I love you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus.